So this is a slight variation to the demonstration style test. It's a acceptance testing. And there's a range of different tools that are available to do this. It's pretty much focusing on the manufacturing stage. We're going into production, and whether we're making one unit a week or one unit every quarter, or we're making 20,000 units per day. The manufacturing stage is one where we're putting together all of the various elements of our supply chain and assembling it into a product. It's our last chance. It's the last chance for us to evaluate our product to see if it meets our reliability requirements. So if during the design and development stages or through the risk assessment and various evaluations of your product, you find an element that of manufacturing variability, for example, that could lead to either latent defects or for shortened life of your product, then using one or more of these types of approaches may help you to minimize the exposure your customers will have to those particular product failures. So this can be done on every product you produce. It can be done on every product you produce, or it can be done on a sample. There's different pros and cons to each of those, and there's different places where they're appropriate. But the basic idea is that I'm going to take my units and evaluate some aspect or all of the aspects of its reliability before I put it in the final carton and ship it to a customer. So one of the tests is based on 100% testing. It's very similar to the PRST that we talked about in a previous lesson, but it's basically a couple of calculations that allow us to determine that if I put either a subset of units or a sample of units under test, that over time, if I have no failures, I'd accept the lot and we'd ship the products. Or that I have a certain number of failures, it goes into the reject region, and again, we would reject that lot, or do a secondary set of inspections and more detailed evaluation to sort or screen those products. But it's the basic idea is that if I have a batch of material that I'm ready to ship off it to our customers, this allows us one more set of testing to evaluate whether the products in that lot are acceptable or not. And a handful of formulas that are very similar to what we had in the PRST can be used here to create these accept and reject regions. There are other methods, of course, and one of them is just run just enough to demonstrate the lower threshold of the MTBF. If you know that you really do have a constant failure rate for your product, then I can take 10 samples and run them for 10 hours, and I have proof then, if none of them failed, I have some nominal proof that I'm at least 100 hours of MTBF for that product. Now, I could also, if I know that I've got a wear out mechanism or an infant mortality mechanism, is run evaluations to determine whether or not the failure rate is meeting the expectations. And those are similar in design. But MTBF is the simplest one, but it's also the riskiest because it's rare that our failure mechanisms actually perform with a constant failure rate. Now, there's also the methods of just using process control. And so the test we're using may be evaluating a performance parameter, and if it exhibits a certain amount of degradation or variation, then it would lead to failures in the field. If you've got those correlations, then SPC could be a significant or a good signal of a significant risk to product failure later. And then there's also the sequential probability ratio testing. I think that's right. Sequential, I think it was on an earlier slide. Let me pull it up. Sequential testing, but this is probability ratio sequential testing. That's PRST. And then there's SPRT, which is another variant of sequential testing, or I got that type wrong, whichever. But needless to say, there's like four or five different methods that allow us to evaluate products while we either in manufacturing or just after it finishes manufacturing to evaluate its reliability. I usually lump these all together into what I call an ongoing reliability testing, where we're regularly taking a sample of our products and then evaluating them for a particular reliability requirement. For example, I was working with a small handheld device, and drop testing was considered an area that signaled a critical supply chain problems. A couple different issues would surface through drop testing. We had a pretty decent idea of an estimate of how many times the product would be dropped over its lifetime, and so we used that as a marker for our product testing. And so we would take a small sample and evaluate them to failure. We ran the samples not just 10 times random drops, but sometimes it would take 50, 60, or 70 different drops before the product would fail. But what we did is used a QSUM control chart to monitor the number of failures till drop, so that the units, when they exhibited a change in the number of drops to failure, that it would signal that something was going on differently with the supply chain. In one particular case, it was an adhesive process that signaled almost a cutting in half of the robustness of the product to product drop, to dropping it. So while it would have met most any other specification or requirement, it did signal that something had changed. So we went back upstream and found that they had implemented a manual adhesive application process away from the equipment, the automated equipment, because they needed to keep up with volume, and the new machine wasn't available yet with the higher volumes. And so the manual process was nowhere near as controlled. Thus, the ability of the adhesive to work was significantly degraded. And we were able to detect that before we went much further with production. So we made some adjustments and also expedited the equipment form, and also did some other process improvements. But the idea was is that instead of waiting for customers to detect that we had a change in process and have possibly 100,000 units exposed to this latent defect, we were able to spot it because we were doing process control on a critical parameter that indicated an issue with its product reliability performance. Think through and get that as clear as I could. So there's a basic problem with these things, though. If I'm at the end of the line or in manufacturing, there's really a couple of things that can happen. One of them is that we find issues in our supply chain or our manufacturing process, and we can mitigate or minimize those. But there's still a remaining problem, and it goes back to one of my kind of pet sayings, that it's always the designer's fault. So if we can go back and change the design, we can eliminate the cause of these failures altogether. And ideally, we could then get rid of the ongoing reliability test or these qualification demonstration style testing that are done during manufacturing. The product reliability sequential testing, I think that's what that's the PRST. The S1, I'm drawing a blank. That's probably a typo. Well, anyway, the idea is that we should get the design right and the reliability to have sufficient margin to withstand variation within manufacturing. Now, in some cases, that's just not possible. And that's a compromise we make by then adding in the screening test to essentially test in quality or test in reliability. Or better yet, it's given us signals and indicators of something that's changed in the process and allows us to go and investigate that and make those improvements. So the next section is really my real pitch on ongoing reliability testing. These other sequential tests or tests that evaluate products' performance on a functional level and to some extent over time or with some stress, is similar to ongoing reliability test, with the only real difference being that I think from the way the most references refer to these is the tests we were just describing are on products that are likely to be shipped and sent to customers, and the testing does minimal or no damage to the product. Where ongoing reliability tests would include things that may be destructive to the product. We're going to do significant aging to the product and evaluate it. And thus, we wouldn't necessarily ship those products to customers. So that drop testing, where we're dropping them 50 to 100 times, that would be more in this realm of an ongoing reliability test because we would not ship those damaged products to the customers.